All right, so here's the thing. You're about to listen to an episode with Hannah Backen and Mary Gerson talking about their pregnancy and expecting and being excited to be a mother soon. And if you know Hannah and Mary, you know that they've already had their babies and that they're all doing well and they have these incredible girls and they are excited and happy. But you're wondering, why are we talking as if these people are still pregnant? Well, that's because we recorded this a couple months ago, but we got incredibly busy and we weren't able to publish the episodes until now. But I think it's still worth it because a lot of people in our church and the people who are listening are still in this stage of life where they're expecting or things like that. And I think the episode will be really helpful. So please take a listen and enjoy the episode. Thanks for joining us for another episode of SCBC Podcast. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, Hannah Backen. Hannah, Woo! Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. And our co-host, Mary, of course, is joining us as well. We're having a conversation around pregnancy and having a baby and giving birth to a child, hopefully soon, because Hannah, you're due in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, like 9 days.
9 days. Wow, look at that. So thank you, first of all, for being here, even though you're due very soon. For those of you who don't know Hannah well, Hannah is a teacher at a local school here, and you're off now, though, right?
I'm off now.
And she is well-loved by our church family, especially in the youth crowd and young adults. She and her husband, Bowen, have served in our youth ministry for many years and have been amazing leaders for our young people. So thank you for doing that, too. And Hannah and Mary and both of their spouses are both good friends. So, but the reason why we wanted Hannah here is because we wanted to talk about this idea of giving birth and the gift of life that God gives to us. And Mary's, for those of you who are regular listeners, you'll know that Mary's also expecting. Mm-hmm. And we actually have quite a few in our church.
I think we have a whole lineup to like April or something.
Yeah, I think our nursery is going to be bumping soon. So what we'll do is today we'll talk about some thoughts about what it's like to be a Christ follower and a faithful Christ follower in the midst of pregnancy, but also as you expect this child coming into your life, how that feels for you and for your family. But let's start with maybe this question. How are you guys feeling? Like, well, Hannah, you're due very soon. So.
Imminent.
Yeah. It's kind of funny timing for that question. I'd say like the whole pregnancy, I've been pretty good. Just the average pregnancy symptoms, nothing too crazy. Definitely have felt better in my life. But now like 38 weeks hit and it was like, whoa, I'm feeling it for sure. The back pain is like crazy. I'm not really sleeping anymore. So yeah, the last like week has been wild, but still really active baby, moving around a lot. Still exciting. Just so excited for it to come soon.
I bet. When you read like what's that text in Genesis when it says like, oh yeah, cool, Adam and Eve, you guys have sinned, you guys messed up. Now there's going to be pain in childbearing. Until you're actually pregnant, I don't think most people are thinking, oh, that's going to be very bad for me.
Seems like a minor thing when you just read by it. Yeah.
Until it happens to you. Yeah. And then you're like, whoa, why did Eve do this to me? have either of you experienced a lot of pain during the pregnancy at all?
I've been pretty good. I mean, I was nauseous in the beginning, but I never threw up. So very thankful for that. Oh, and good. My second trimester honestly was great. I felt really good, but yeah, the pain just recently started. Again, the last week has been like wild back pain. I was like, am I in labor? Unfortunately, I wasn't. It's just the back pain. So, because there's back labor, and it's a weird time now because obviously I've never given birth. So, Bowen and I are just sitting at home, like, is this it? What do we do? Like, should we call someone? And it was nothing. So,
That's interesting because, it's both of your first child, first pregnancy here. And I think that definitely does change it. Obviously, I haven't been pregnant, but my wife, we have two children now. And it was very different, our experiences. But I will say the first time was definitely more, I think we were less kind of secure or confident just because we didn't know what was what. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, we would be second guessing ourselves all the time. Like, are you going to labor? She's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I'm like, sorry, never mind.
Don't ask me that.
Yeah. No. And then the second time around, Sarah was like, oh, no, it's happening, Paul. Let's go.
Yeah.
So. Fair. Definitely different. Mary, I know, unfortunately, your yeah. journey hasn't been so pain-free.
Yeah, mine has been pretty up and down, pretty intense. I actually had one of my midwives say to me the other day, normally pregnancy isn't this bad. And I was like, oh, great. That's so comforting.
Thanks for telling me.
But no, I've been through a bunch of different stages. I have a pre-existing condition, which gave me a lot of uterine pain at the beginning. So they pretty much told me it was like having 4 weeks of unmedicated labor pain, which was not enjoyable. And then I got really bad sickness. And then now I'm dealing with some like bone and ligament stuff. But I have always kind of had kind of an unreliable body. Like, I have celiac disease, I have a number of things, yeah, so I'm not I'm used to different things like this, so I wasn't particularly surprised that I'm the one in like whatever hundred that gets all of this. But it just is making me so excited to get to the end and to see this baby and meet the baby, because the pregnancy has not been great, but we're just taking it a day at a time.
Yeah. And how long do you have left? When are you due?
I have 14 more weeks. So I'm 26 weeks
okay.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I can see that, you know, when I share life with, especially with my wife, going through this, it's definitely a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Physically, of course, and every woman, every pregnancy could be very different too. So I understand that. And then also emotionally could be difficult, and just circumstantially, limitations that you guys have to put up with, especially Hannah in the latter stages of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I'm sure you used to do and love to do that you're not able to do right now. I feel like mothers are, this is my personal opinion, but mothers are always better trained and equipped to be sacrificial in the way that Jesus loves us. Than maybe fathers are, just because you guys have this like intense training period of already before meeting the baby of learning to sacrifice quite literally your bodies for this life that is being formed in you. And I'm going to say that God, I believe, is doing a work in you guys through that, hopefully growing patience and love for him, and hopefully you guys have experienced some of that. Can you guys maybe tell me, are there any joys of being pregnant, or anything that you've experienced so far that you're like, oh, I'm so thankful for this in my pregnancy?
Yeah, I think for me, like, feeling it move for the first time, I say it, some people, you know, it's controversial, but we don't know if it's a boy or girl, and I like calling it.
Oh, yeah, you didn't find out. Wait, sorry. Mary, are you guys?
No.
You guys are both
also
surprised?
Still,
okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Surprise.
Awesome, that's cool.
So I say
cool.
it, sorry if that offends you.
Sure, sure.
But, but no, feeling it move, I felt it, like, pretty early, like, 17-ish weeks, and I was like, whoa, it was just a little flutter. But now we have a very active baby. Every time I go to any appointment and they are like feeling for the heartbeat, it's like losing its mind. And they're like, no issues with movement for you. And I'm like, nope. And yeah, it's also, we've been told it's a very big baby. So that's kind of scary, but also yeah. I've heard good things that, you know, big babies sleep better. So I'm like, well, I hope that's true.
I hope all of that's true.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movement was really exciting. And just like, even though, like, obviously we're not parents quite yet, but watching like my husband just like, you know, interact with the baby and feel it kick for the first time and hear its heartbeat has been like really cool. He's really excited. And
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about like feeling the movement of the child. My wife, Sarah, when we were pregnant and when we were like kind of close to our due date, like maybe three or four weeks
out. With Nathan?
Yeah, with Nathan, our first one. So we're already a little bit more nervous. She was driving back into town and on the highway she got rear-ended. And the seatbelt on some of the newer cars, you know how the seatbelt automatically like pulls you back?
Yeah.
So it kind of jolted back. And even though it wasn't a huge accident, the guy who hit her, I think he was a Christian guy, and he felt terrible that not only he rear-ended someone, but a very pregnant person who is like, she was kind of panicking at the time. So then he's like, no, you need to go to the hospital. So we went to the hospital in Ladner, and they had the ultrasound machine, but the person operating it, I don't think really knew exactly how, or the machine maybe wasn't working. So then, like, they were panicking because they couldn't feel, like, the heartbeat of the child. They're trying to, like, make sure the child's okay. But then Sarah's like, no, it's okay. He's alive. And they're like, how do you know? Well, he's kicking. I think he's alive. So I remember, like, for her, like, even though she was panicking, the kicking throughout that time kind of calmed her down a little bit until the person was able to figure out how to use that machine and actually confirm for us that the child is okay. And turns out Nathan and Sarah are both okay, and we're very thankful. But yeah, the movement, it's just like, I guess, a confirmation that, hey, I'm here.
It's really reassuring. Yeah, I had a softball incident. I was playing softball pregnant, slow pitch. Don't worry, everyone. It was not coming in fast. I played outfield. I was banned from playing infield, but I was 20 something weeks, and I showed pretty early, so everyone knew. But I was running to first base, and my husband was like, are you sure you want to play this year? I was like, I'll be fine. I'm not, like, it's okay. And I was running to, the first game went fine. Second, I didn't get on base, though, so second game comes around. He's like, just don't do the classic fall where you start running, but you are top heavy now, and you just, belly flop. I was like, oh, I won't. And then the second game comes around. I was like, I need to run a little faster to get to first, and I belly flopped.
Oh,
but
no.
I turned sideways last minute and, like, took it to my hip, but obviously everyone, like, freaked out. But again, yeah, once we switched innings, I got to second base, by the way. They overthrew first, so I was safe, not to brag. And then my team obviously wouldn't let me run anymore, and you can sub runners. But then the baby was kicking once I was in the outfield, so I knew everything was okay. But I wasn't, like, too worried because I knew I hit my hip. But everyone else was like, you did not turn on your side. That was a belly flop. I was like, no, it would have hurt. It wasn't. And again, yeah, the movement really reassured us both that, like, baby's okay in there. It's moving around. So
that's cool.
I remember you telling me you first felt that.
Yeah. Well, ours didn't kick early. So we got to one appointment, and the midwife said, oh, I'm sure you're feeling lots of movement by now. And I was like, no, we're not. But it was that day that the movement actually started. So, and yeah, the same thing. They have problems now catching up to it with the heart monitor because it's really, really active. But I think, too, so I agree with everything Hannah said. I would say that's all been probably one of the greatest joys, actually. Feeling the baby and that it's real and all of these things. Because it's hard, especially when it's your first one, you have, like, nothing to compare it to. It just kind of seems fake for so long.
And it just makes you
you're
so
just, like,
sick.
You're just, like, gaining weight and in so much pain and so sick. And you're like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. But I think, too, another really sweet thing has been how it's already sort of changed and affected Phil and I's relationship. Because he has been such an incredible caregiver and partner through this all.
Awesome.
Because I mean, it hasn't been easy. And even at the beginning, we were, like, in and out of the hospital and to tons of different appointments to make sure everything was okay. And just the support and partnership in that has been really, really cool. And so, like, I sometimes have, like, doubts or fears about how I might be as a mom, but I never have doubts or fears about how he's going to be as a dad, just because he's already shown me
he's good.
So much.
He's good.
Sacrificial love.
Phil is good. Yeah. No, I you know what, though? It's kind of cool that, like, even your experiences about when you felt the first movement of your child could be so different. Mm-hmm. And how, like, I think it's I've always said I believe in miracles, not only because the Bible says so, but because when I was in that room twice now with Nathan's birth and Christiane's birth, that was probably one of my most powerful moments in life. Of experiencing, wow, God is so good, and he is creator God, and he is powerful. I can't believe that God had formed this life through us in Sarah's belly. And I just, like, to me, I'm at awe. I'm in awe of God's creative power to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the greatest miracles that I personally got to experience. And I do think it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. But going back to what you said about your husband, and both of you already mentioning the importance of your husband's role in this, I've listened to a podcast of an ex-NBA player and an ex-NHL or NFL player talking about this, like two big, you know, very athletic men talking about menopause and pregnancy and stuff like that. And they were kind of trying to say, hey, our culture made it, like, weird to talk about this. And some of you listening might be like, why is our church podcast talking about pregnancy and birth giving and all that stuff? There's a lot of talk about it. I remember seeing an Instagram thing about a sermon that a pastor at Village preached recently, and he was trying to redefine, like, hey, the biblical idea of masculinity isn't maybe what our culture has shaped us to be. If you don't like hunting and working out and if you're not athletic, you're not manly and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, that's not, like, biblical manhood, like, masculinity looks so much better than what our culture has kind of pigeonholed us into. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to talk about. Those two athletes on the podcast, they weren't Christians, but they were saying how it's important. They grew up never hearing about, they had a mom, and mm-hmm. a couple of those guys had sisters and stuff, but they never heard about menopause. Mm-hmm. And when they had their spouses go through it, they had no idea what to do and how to help. Mm-hmm. And they felt useless. And they're like, why aren't we educated to mm-hmm. care for the people that we love most? Why are we so unprepared for it? Why is it taboo for men to understand what's happening to our wives, our moms, our sisters' bodies, and try to help and serve them and understand what kind of emotional things that you guys are going through? Totally. So I think it's super important for churches to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And I actually just was thinking about this the other day, and I want to be sensitive how I say this because I know people have good intentions when they do it. But I was talking to a few people, and they were just talking about how they also had really challenging pregnancies, but they mm-hmm. never felt like they should share it with anyone who hadn't had a baby yet because they didn't want to, like, freak them out.
Which is fair.
But also, as I was going through all this, I really felt like, not alone, but, like, I was the only person in the world experiencing all these things. And it wasn't until I shared that I was going through those specific hardships that people were like, oh, I had that, or my friend had that, or blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Which makes you feel so much more just part of a community and, like, not so on your own with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment of not wanting to scare people. But also, if people want to have kids, they're going to try and have kids. So I really value the honesty and the sharing because I think it, in the long run, really helps.
Yeah, and I think, like me, I've grown up in a house of boys, and I didn't have a sister. So I, like, honestly, I dread the day where, like, I have to learn how to, like, navigate through Christiane becoming a young woman
That'll
at some
fun.
Point. Like, yeah, so I mean, like, yeah, I would say I'm personally not used to all of these conversations either. But I think it's kind of how God created us to be. As mm-hmm. husbands, we're supposed to love our wives and serve them in their mm-hmm. needs. And if we're so ignorant about it, and if we're unwilling to learn and afraid of talking about things like this, then how could we serve our families well? So
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we talked about some of the joys, but I'm sure there were some challenges that you had to face along the way of your pregnancies. Mary, you've already shared the mm-hmm. physical pain. But any challenges that you faced, Hannah?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, kind of going back to what we were just talking about, like sharing and being open, we actually had a miscarriage first. Mm-hmm. And so I've been pregnant for like 13 months pretty much because I was pregnant and we instantly got pregnant right after, which again, what a blessing to, we got pregnant right away both times, unfortunately miscarried the first baby, but yeah, it's been challenging just to be pregnant for so long and just like not feel like myself for so long. And yeah, I think that's been like the hardest part for sure. But even through the first pregnancy, I was pregnant for what we thought 10 weeks, but we didn't hear the heartbeat at 9 weeks. So the baby at some point around 9 weeks was gone. But that was obviously really challenging. But again, like our families were there. We didn't really, again, want to share too much just because we're both teachers.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really want our students to like be sad or worried or like colleagues or anyone to like freak out. Cause we actually like, we're okay.
Yeah.
Like we took a couple days off work, but like mentally, like God, like Jesus, our relationship with him, like really sustained us through that period. And it was hard, but I felt like we almost felt bad that it wasn't as hard as maybe, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Almost like people thought we'd be way worse off, but we were like, no, we're actually going to be okay. Like, if this is God's plan, it's okay. Yeah. Like, I'll be able to share about this. We'll be able to, like, speak to other people and, like, hopefully help them through this. Like, God helped us through it. We had strength, and now we're pregnant again, and we're almost there. So, it was definitely hard to be pregnant for that long, but we're almost there now. And, sharing about it, the experience now is, like, we think can hopefully help other people.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a great posture for you to have as a follower of Christ. But also, I think it's important for us to talk about these things because I've also shared, I think even in my sermon, Sarah and I, we've experienced three miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has experienced, she's had 9 pregnancies, only had 2 children, me and my brother, 7 miscarriages.
Wow.
And that's obviously painful emotionally too and mentally. Actually, when we miscarried, the doctors, it was during COVID one of the times, and it was the first day of shutdown. So went to women's. And there was nobody. We saw a doctor in like less than 5 minutes, I think.
Wow.
And which never happens, of course. And then she spent so much time with Sarah and me. but mostly tending to her mental health rather than her physical health. Because I think the doctor determined she's going to be okay physically, but she was concerned about Sarah's mental health and was just walking her through things and listening and making sure she had time to process and giving us all sorts of resources. And I think that's been helpful. But one of the reasons why we do share it, and I'm not saying everyone has to share everything, I think there is this level of privacy in our Western culture that is good at times, but sometimes we overdo it. And in return, kind of what you said earlier, Mary, we isolate ourselves from the support network that we do have, whether it's family or friends or church, hopefully all of the above. I think it's important because we also help each other grow spiritually too, and as humans, because sometimes we fail to talk about this because we're being sensitive to people who want to be pregnant, who want to have children, who can't. And I understand that you guys don't want to rub it in their face, and you shouldn't. You should never do that. But at the same time, I want to teach all of us and learn together the joy of celebrating other people's wins, even if I don't get to win. I've talked about it when my mother-in-law passed away with cancer. My very close friend and colleague, Jordan's family experienced something similar, and they had a much different outcome. And we learned to celebrate their family's win and rejoice truly, even while grieving our own loss. And I think this is important as a church community to learn how to do this together, where we celebrate you guys. And at the same time, grieve and hurt and sit in sorrow with others who experience that sorrow. So I hope, as you guys said, you guys can become that to your own generation and beyond, where you guys can serve one another through your joys and through your hurts. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We had a lot of friends having babies right when we miscarried, and they were very nervous to talk about their babies with us, or like share pictures. It kind of stopped for a bit just because they were like, again, being kind. They didn't want to like make us upset or anything. We're like, no, like we're okay. We want to see your baby. Like we're still so excited for you guys just because we're going through this. Like we're going to be okay. Like the doctors are really reassuring that we're healthy and young. We'll get pregnant again and it's okay. Like we're fine. But yeah, people are very, again, they're being kind and cautious, but
and
at the same time,
they should be,
at the same time, we're like, no, like please send us your baby pictures. We want to see your newborn. We want to come and meet them and share in the joy with you guys, even though, like you said, we're grieving and stuff, but it's okay. Like we still want to celebrate and like be happy for everyone else.
And that's, I think, where Christ wants us to go. Like maturity in Christ, I think, looks like that. And that's very compelling. You want to be around a community like that. You want to be around people like that, that learns how to celebrate others, even if you didn't get to have that same experience. To me, those people are some of the most compelling people to be around. Mary, I know you've had lots of challenges.
I think I was just going to share one more thing. but this is kind of confusing to talk about. But the emotional journey that I've been on has been really, really complicated because the physical has just been like one thing after the next. And I feel like I've been okay, like keeping a pretty good mindset. And I'm obviously like so excited to be a mom and so excited to have a baby. And I keep that very separate. Like I still can acknowledge the incredible miracle that is. And I'm so excited and I cannot wait for January and all of these things. But at the same time, just how it started and everything I've been through has kind of almost put a cloud on some of it. Because even if you think about it, like this was our first pregnancy and this was the first grandkids on my side of the family. So obviously you think you're going to get like an exciting moment of like sharing that we're pregnant. But it didn't come like that. It came from like the emergency room having to tell my parents that I was in the hospital and I might be pregnant, but I might not, and all this stuff. So it's been a crazy emotional journey. And then that partnered with like kind of other people's expectations on you has been kind of challenging because I think everyone thinks like, oh my gosh, you're pregnant. You must be so excited, which on the one hand is totally true, but it's still like, you know, we've kind of come like back around to it. Like it hasn't been a super easy thing. So, but I've been going to like a really great counselor actually through it. And yeah, I've come a long way. So I am very excited and we're doing well. But it's been a journey for sure. It's only been like 6 months, but I feel like it's been longer than that.
I bet. How would you say you've grown through that experience going through those complicated, complex emotions and situations.
Well, it's funny because I almost feel like it's been a part two from my concussion. Because we also did a very similar episode after my concussion, and I shared about just honesty being something that I've really grown in and being really vulnerable with my community and telling people when I need help. And it's kind of funny because the concussion, like, I definitely learned all that, and I started doing those things, but this has rendered me even like more useless and like completely unable to do anything. So I feel like what I learned from the concussion was just built upon for this. So like just continuing those things, being really honest. Like I remember, I think I was only like 5 weeks pregnant at the time, but Phil and I called you and asked you for coffee to tell you and then just say like, we need help. We don't know what to do. I don't know if I can work. I don't know if I can do this, all of this. So I think I've definitely grown in those areas, but I've also just grown, I think, in gratefulness for the community that I get to be a part of, and gratefulness for support. Like, even my school was super supportive with me and, like, gave me some extra leniency and time. And so I'm still graduating, but they've, like, helped me to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, definitely gratefulness is an area I've grown in.
Yeah, I'm glad that through the pain that there's growth and there's... You know, I've always really enjoyed looking back on my journey and others as well, and being able to see that, yes, that pain was real, and no, we don't want to live through that again. But at the same time, like, oh, that wasn't wasted, though.
Yeah.
God shaped me into the person that I am today, and I can safely say that, yes, I've grown through those experiences. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool to hear your reflections on it. Hannah, anything that you've learned along the way that you've grown in?
Well, I definitely agree with, like, what Mary was saying, too, just about, like, trusting the community and asking for help when you need it.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that. And just, yeah, gratefulness and everything. But the other thing that I would add is just, like, trusting God's timing and plan. Because I remember when we first got pregnant, I had just got a full-time teaching job. It was my first year at a teaching school. And it was going to line up so that, like, I had enough hours and everything. Yeah. Like, we were doing, like, May, and we were like, this is perfect. Like, I pretty much get to teach the whole year. Like, wow, God's timing is so good. And then it was taken away.
Yeah.
And then we were like, what? Like, it seemed so perfect. Yeah. I had a full-time job. Like, it was all going to work out. The maternity leave and everything so nicely. And now, like, it's just gone. But then we had to kind of, like, reset and realize, like, no, that wasn't the plan for us. Like, God's timing and plan is perfect. And just because that one seemed so perfect to us, it wasn't meant to be. And that's okay. But I think, yeah, it just made us realize, like, it's not about what we want and, like, our timing. We have to trust God's plan through everything. And we obviously knew that as, like, youth leaders. Yeah. I've told so many kids that. But then to have something so perfectly, oh, this is going to be awesome, and then it was taken away. It's like, no, you never know. Like, you go through hardships, like you've mentioned, and you need to just trust God. And, yeah, you grow and learn through it. And so now we're, like, grateful for everything we've experienced. And we definitely have... Yeah, grown stronger together and closer to God.
Yeah, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. And you guys both mentioned community already a couple times, but let's talk about the community, because I personally am very proud of the community of women that we have in our church. Actually, both of your moms are very involved and excited about our women's ministry stuff. When I mean your mom, your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
shout out to Shelley here.
Yeah.
no, but I know that women's ministry does, and not just women's ministry, our children's ministry team as well, have been a big part in putting on showers. My wife is involved in that as well, decorating and making sure that the person who's doing either a bridal shower or a baby shower, that they feel really loved and cared for. That's, I think, the goal of these things. Mm-hmm. And also for them to know tangibly that there's a community around you guys as you guys go through important life stages like this. Did you guys have your showers yet, or are you doing the after the baby shower kind of a thing? Or
I've had my church shower.
Just
a couple weeks ago.
And Mary, I guess yours is coming up. Yeah, the timing. I think I've had this conversation with Sarah. I'm like, hey, you better not do it too close to Christmas. So
I know.
You'll want to.
I think it's end of November.
Okay.
She's like, Paul says we can't do December. That's fine. Well, like, listen to Paul.
I'm like, nobody's gonna enjoy doing it on December 23rd. So no, but. But I've always found it, because I'm never invited to this, of course, and I've always found it so cool.
Do you wish you were? Is it something you wish you could
One time I did. It was Christiane Gibson's, or Scott now, shower, and Jordan was, I think he was still youth pastor at the time, And I was helping him move some subwoofers and other stuff out of our chapel room while her shower was going on. I was trying to set up for Gap. And I'm like,
he didn't really go.
Oh, and I'm like, Jordan, is it awkward? Maybe you shouldn't go. Maybe I should just go. I don't know. What do we do? So that was a little awkward. So I'm like, I wish I was actually invited to go into this one so that we didn't have to, like, sneak in and grab all the equipment. But no, I don't wish to go particularly, but I think it's so cool how our women, like, sometimes, like, women who don't even know the person who's having a baby would show up and just give them tons of support and gifts and everything just because they want to communicate, we love you, we're your church family. And I just think it's the coolest thing ever that you guys do for each other. How was your experience?
Yeah, so it was amazing. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do a shower like before or after because we don't know the gender of the baby. So I kind of thought I'd do it old school and have a shower after.
Oh,
but
yes,
then also I was like, there's a lot of things that you need. And then after talking to, Caitlin, she was like, well, it's up to you. We can do it after if you want. But we decided to do it before, which, now both Bowen and I, like, couldn't even believe it. Like, how many people there were and just, like, not obviously the gifts were, like, crazy. Like, people were so generous, we actually couldn't believe it. Bowen got there at the end to help load the car, and we were like, we don't even have enough space in our car for, like, the amount of stuff everyone got us. It was crazy. But then also just, like, the words of encouragement. They had, like, a little paper where everyone could fill out, like, their advice and tips and stuff. Yeah. And reading those after was, like, so encouraging and amazing. And just, every Sunday everyone's running up to me, like, how are you doing? Like, how do you feel? Everyone's so excited and just, like, so caring. It's incredible. We often, my husband Bowen and I, talk about, like, it would be crazy to not be in a church and be pregnant. Like, we just don't even know. It would feel so lonely to us, we feel like, because we have so many different people.
Yeah.
Not, like, obviously your families are excited, but we have, like, people that are, like, our church family that are just as close to us who are so excited too, and we're like, I don't know how we would do it without all these people. Like, Caitlin's already got, like, a meal train from the baby comes, and she's like, you won't have to worry about food. I can make you freezer meals now. Like,
that's
just
so cool.
So kind and thoughtful.
Yeah, shout out to Caitlin. She's our children's director, and she does an amazing job caring for the families. I agree, like, that the church community is such an amazing thing. And we're a family, so we have our quirks and our pains too, right? I'm not going to suggest that we're perfect, but in these moments, it tangibly shows us the care and love that we have for one another. And it's not like you guys are only at the receiving end. I'm sure you guys have helped decorate or been to or bought gifts for other people's showers too. So I love how that community has that, you know, desire to serve one another. This is actually not even, like, officially a part of our staff's job description or anything, but, like people in our church, including our staff and our people, like, they just love doing it for one another. And I think that's so cool that it's more of a organic and kind of a ministry out of desire rather than, oh, we got to put this on for this woman again. So I love that. Mary, are you excited about yours?
Nervous, I am, or? Yeah. I mean, it's exciting because it's new and I've never done it before, so it is exciting. But what I would say more about our community, just because I haven't had the shower yet, is I just feel like in a different way when people ask me, how are you doing? They're so much more, like, present in wanting to know the answer, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Not that people are ever,
yes,
like, disingenuous, but just in our culture, like, you pass by someone, you're like, how are you doing? Good, good, and then you keep going. But lately, it's been people, like, coming, stopping, and be like, how are you doing?
Yes.
Tell me about it. And I don't know if that's just because I'm pregnant or what I've shared, or I don't know if you've had the same experience, but I just feel like people really, really care. And similarly, I don't know how I would feel if, like, we weren't part of a church community. Because even the Sunday I kind of announced my pregnancy and then thanked people for praying, like, I was really genuine when I was saying that, like, some days with what I was going through, like, I didn't feel like I had the strength to pray. And knowing that people were praying for me and, like, carrying me through it in that way was, like, just completely irreplaceable. I could never ask for anything more than that.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing to be a part of a community.
That's cool. Kind of switching to the Bible, like, there's a lot of stories about giving birth
pregnancy,
and being pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote a bunch here, like, You get obviously Abraham and the promise of Isaac, and you get Jacob and Esau, the twins, and you get Moses and the midwives. That whole story is crazy if you think about it. Can you imagine the stress Moses' mom was under? Hannah and Samuel is a classic story about pregnancy and bearing a child. The hard one is really David and Bathsheba's first child that ends up dying.
Yeah.
And that's like, what do you make of that? Of course, Jesus and John the Baptist in the New Testament and so forth. Actually, I was doing my morning devo, and the Shunammite woman, Elisha the prophet, promises a kid, and she's like, no, I don't believe you. Come on, you can't be right. We're old. We can't have. And then she has a baby, and then he dies. And then Elisha comes and raises him back from the dead. And it's like, well, what is going on? Mm-hmm. What kind of an experience would this have been for this mom and the dad? But in that story, we really could get it from the mom's perspective. So there's a lot of stories in the Bible about birth, giving birth, being gifted a child, and God having the right to that child, and us being stewards as parents. Mm-hmm. So maybe let's shift to this idea of, you know, biblical parenthood. Motherhood, and specifically for you guys, what are you guys kind of thinking when you guys are preparing yourselves to mother this child, to parent this child?
I like that you use the word stewardship, because that's definitely a word that I've been thinking of a lot, because Phil and I have marriage mentors, and even before we were thinking of getting pregnant, I remember the wife gave me maybe the best advice I'll ever get on parenting, but she just said, like, remember, like, these kids are in your care, but these are the Lord's kids. And how, I mean, it's not like a huge shift, but it definitely is a shift from thinking these are my kids. They're like, I need to make all the, like,
you know. My minions.
Yeah, my minions. but just knowing, like, these are God's kids that were given to you to take care of, to steward, to do the best that you can. But at the end of the day, they are God's kids. And how that just slight mind shift really can change your whole ethos, really, of parenting. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, I mean, it's easy for me to say now. The kid's still in my belly, and I have kind of full control over it.
Do you really?
No. Oh, no. Actually, if I learned anything,
the baby has control
over
you. That's what
exactly.
It is.
Yeah. So it's easy to say now, but that's something I've really been thinking a lot about, just because I want to get into that mindset and that habit of it, because I think it alleviates a lot of anxiety, but it also reminds you of the responsibility.
Yes, too. Yes. Maybe I'll give you an added parenting tip. Not that I'm the best parent, but when you're yelling at your child because you're angry or upset, inevitably that day will come. I think it is important for us to remember, I remind myself, this is God's child. A, what a privilege it is that I have this opportunity to parent this child on behalf of God. But B, it's God's child. I can't be rude to it. Even though, like, we're the power figure in the family because we're teaching it, we're feeding it, we're raising it, raising him or her. it's hard for me to remember sometimes that, oh, wait, but if this is God's child, I need to treat this child with dignity and respect. Nathan is made in the image of God. Christiane is made in the image of God. I can't just yell at them because I'm angry and be okay with it. I need to go and apologize because this human being is beautiful in the sight of God and demands respect and dignity simply because he is a child of God. She is a child of God. And I think in that moment, even as parents, while I have full authority to teach and to shape them into people who are faithful followers of Jesus, I still also have this relationship of, I'm a steward, and I need to be faithful unto my Lord. And I think that's always important as parents. And I think those, when you're yelling at the child, please remember this.
Because
that day will come. Are you anxious at all? You kind of talked about anxious.
I don't think at this point. I'm sure I will be, but I have no specific anxieties yet.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Hannah, now that you're closer to the date.
Yeah. We're obviously so excited to be parents and everything, but as it gets closer, it's like, wow, I have to give birth soon and going to be painful. That's going to be wild. And eventually someone said to me the other day, they're like, are you excited to have a story? And I was like, what?
Oh, no, I pray for uneventful.
They're like, well, whatever happens, it's going to be your baby's story of how they came into the world. Like, it's going to be awesome. And some of them are, you know, scarier than others, and some of them aren't. But I was like, oh, that's I mean, I haven't really thought of it like that, but I guess so.
I'll try to be. I'm praying for the most boring story of everything went so
delightful
smoothly.
Delightful story.
Me too.
Everything was so good and there's no hiccups anywhere.
Yeah, me too for sure. But yeah, definitely. And then the other side of it, last night we had my husband's grandma's birthday and the whole family was there and they were like, that's the wildest part for sure is all of a sudden you're driving home with this like,
yes,
God's child, this little human in the back of the car that you're responsible for. And they, so I was telling them, I was like, that's going to be even crazier than the whole birth thing. It's like, now we have this child to take care of. And I definitely find myself praying for just like guidance and wisdom often.
Yes.
But I do like what you said about the stewardship and everything and how it's God's child. Mm. It's not just mine. So that's definitely a good reminder.
Yeah. I think the Bible tells us like how precious life is in general and how much Jesus respects us and loves us, which is crazy to think about. This God of the universe loves us and treats us with dignity and requires us to do the same to others.
I think, too, the community aspect that we were talked about for so long, too, really helps with the anxiety. I mean, there's a bunch of things that, like, I'm thinking about and I don't have answers for, but I wouldn't say it's quite anxieties yet. Because I do feel like there's so many people that I could ask for help for, ask for advice, even putting together the registry. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, so I talked to Sarah, and she came over and, like, made the registry for me because she knows what she's doing. So that is something that I'm really thankful for because I think it kind of alleviates that. I mean, as long as you're willing to participate in the community, it can alleviate some of that anxiety for you.
I've had a lot of anxiety. I don't know if Phil and Bowen are feeling that way. Both of them are pretty chill, like, personalities. They're calmer than me, probably. But holding Nathan for the first time, especially our first child, and realizing, wow, he is dependent on us to keep him alive.
Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Like, that's like a wild thought, right? Like, nobody's ever been that dependent on me ever. So so that was kind of like, wow, do I know how to do this? So I think there's always going to be some level of insecurity and learning how it's going to happen. But then instant love, I think. Instant feeling of, I can die for this child. I will not, like. But then, funny story, parenting fails started on the first day for us at the hospital. He had some heart issues that we thought were issues but wasn't, and some jaundice. So we kept him for a couple days at the hospital, longer than usual. But then at Surrey Memorial, I think all hospitals do this, they don't release the child until they see that you have a safe car seat and then, like, installed properly and all that stuff. So we make a big deal about choosing the right car seat and everything. And then when we go to install it, we don't know how to do it. So, like, the nurse is, like, basically failing us on the spot. Like, no, we can't take this child home unless you know how to do this. So she's trying to teach us. Turns out I have photos of this moment because I'm a photographer by hobby, so I have all these photos. And the nurse did it wrong, too. Now that we know actually how it's supposed to be done, she did it completely wrong.
No.
She would never pass, like, the, you know, the Cart Tech Facebook group. She will never pass their, get their approval.
I didn't even know about this car seat thing until the other day. Someone told me about it.
It's a religion. It's a cult. But anyway, scratch that. I know many people might be offended by that. But but there's like a whole like car seat police out there, and there's no way the nurse did that appropriately. Neither did we, though. And we're like so frustrated not knowing how to do, quote unquote, a simple task because we've never done this before. And I'm like, wow. Are we sure we can take this child home? Like, we don't even know how to put him in the car safely. So I think that was like a funny kind of way of us like being humbled in the very
right
beginning
away.
Of our parenting journey. And you're right, though, the community and Jesus being, you know, he guarantees that he'll be there for us to provide the strength, the wisdom that we seek from him. So I think hopefully that gives you guys confidence and assurance as you guys enter into this very important season. Is it going to be the first grandchild in your family, both of your sides?
Yeah, both sides.
Oh, really?
So I'm an only child, so it's my obviously it's my parents first, and then same. Bowen has a brother and a sister, but we're the first, so grandbaby. So
same with you, Mary, right?
On my side.
On your side.
Yeah. There's two on the other side.
Yeah. So that would be cool. That would be exciting for, because I always say, yes, it's your children, but also, I mean, your parents had a great deal of influence on you guys so far. Mm-hmm. So the joy is shared.
Yes.
And the burden is also shared. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, and I trust both of your parents will be very helpful, and your in-laws as well.
I think so.
Very helpful in this whole journey. I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy.
It is.
Still surreal. Does it still feel surreal for you?
I mean, I thought I went into labor like 2 days ago, so it's getting pretty real now, but here I am, so thankful that I didn't go into labor so I could do this podcast today.
So for those of you listening, I'm pretty good friends with both of their husbands as well, and I have huge respect for both of them, and I've been checking in on trying to see how they're doing and stuff. And Phil apparently right now is not doing well. He's sick. But Beau and I, when I see him at church, I have to ask him. And he's usually the most chill and relaxed person you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
But then I try to get him to be anxious about this.
You can't.
I know. I'm trying to get him to get nervous.
Good luck.
No.
But to be honest, he kept joking about it. He's like, oh, I hope Hannah's water breaks during the podcast recording. I'm like, no, Bowen, no. If that happens, I'm calling you and you're cleaning up. So,
no. I've always wanted someone's water to break during a church service to see what would happen.
So I did. I told you this, right, Hannah?
Yeah.
Like, please don't be discreet. And this goes for you,
please
too.
Please don't be discreet.
I don't know why people, like, just, like, sneak out when they're having a baby and, like, on a Sunday morning service.
Yeah.
If you're in the pews, I don't mind. I'm okay to be distracted. If I'm preaching and you guys are like going into labor, please yell out to the whole church family,
we're having a baby.
I'll let you do that one, Mary. Yeah, you got that.
I'll do it on stage.
Yeah, and then we'll all clap and celebrate with you, and then we'll probably pray for you and make sure that you guys do well. And you know, you don't need to leave quietly.
Just, are you being serious?
Oh yeah. If that happens during a Sunday service, we'll celebrate together,
man.
We'll pray together.
Yeah. I said Bo and I'll probably sneak out, but we'll give you like a thumbs up if you look at us. And if we're both leaving together, you can, you know, shout us out.
Can
but
you imagine one compromise. Sunday you guys are leaving and you guys give me a thumbs up because I did a good job on my preaching or something, and then I misinterpret this now and go like, congregation, the Packins are having their baby. We're going to stop right now and pray for them.
They're just getting a coffee in the foyer.
Yeah. Anyhow, thank you. Thank you for joining us for this podcast, Hannah. And Mary, you too. Thank you for sharing some of your stories that are personal to you. But hopefully it's helpful for our congregation to know that we as a church are family. Mm-hmm. And we do this together. When we dedicate our children, I can't wait to be able to
That would be so cute.
We mean it, right? We walk alongside each other, and we are so serious about that, and we're so privileged to do that. So I guess as we end this podcast, may I pray for you guys
as
we close? Let's pray. God, we thank you for these two women whom you love and you have gifted with this precious life in them right now. We thank you for Mary. We thank you for Hannah. We thank you for Phil and Bowen and their families. And we thank you for the babies that are in these women right now. We thank you that you are the miracle worker who does this amazing work of creation in us and through us. God, I pray that you'll bless Hannah, especially as she's nearing her due date. Mm-hmm. I pray that you'll continue to give her peace, give her good health, God. I pray that the baby will be healthy and Hannah will remain healthy. I pray that Bowen will be the best husband ever as he continues to serve his family, his wife, through this. And I pray that there'll be great joy. And I do pray that the story that she tells at the end of it will be boring. That it'll be like, oh, man, the child is so healthy. Hannah is so healthy. And nothing went wrong. God, but even despite anything that may be coming her way, I pray that you'll give her strength. I pray that you'll equip her and Bowen with the wisdom and discernment required to steward this child well for your glory and for the good of their family, too. And I also pray the same for Mary, God, and Phil. Pray that you'll give them wisdom, especially as she has had some health struggles throughout this entire journey. I pray that you'll give her rest from the pain, and I pray that you'll give her assurance that you're with her all the way through. I pray that you'll give her peace and joy, even despite the challenges that she continues to face. And I pray at the end of the day that both of these families will be able to stand before our congregation and dedicate their children to share life together with our entire church family. What a privilege, God. What a joy. We give you praise. We give you thanks. And we trust these women to you now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.